Welcome to Love Fellowship Believers, a non-denominational church desiring to fulfill God's will. We invite you to join us in an atmosphere of praise and worship in the powerful teachings of Christ delivered in a most creative way that reaches every age. Located at 1900 Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard in Greensboro, North Carolina, on the wonderful campus of Gillespie Park Elementary School. This year, we're focusing on building a foundation solidified by grace, with walls made by faith, and our homes being filled with salvation by being united in living devotion. We promise you, visiting us online or in the sanctuary will be an experience that will be life-changing and one you'll never forget. We hope to see you soon. Services begin at 11 a.m. Have a blessed day.
Now, some of your parents may have to talk to your children and explain to them why you eloquently explain. But right now, I need you to feel a little uncomfortable. I need you to understand that you are still here because you still have a reason to be here.
Amen. Amen.
Tomorrow's not promised to anyone. Right now is not even promised. There are people, the death toll just went up in one of the categories. As I'm standing here before you, this is a constant ticker that I'm looking at. That's how precious life and breath is. And then I was asking myself, so what does that have to do with the scripture in 2 Chronicles? Oh, with my people who would call by my name would only humble themselves and pray. I'm talking to the people of God in the house of God. So surely they're praying. Right? Y'all are praying?
Amen.
I know you pray. You got prayer on Wednesday on the phone, and you got prayer on, and you got people praying on the TV. It's prayer going on here. So why am I telling Love Fellowship believers under the great leadership of Pastor Kevin Webb, his eighth anniversary of the founding of this church? Why am I asking you, why the hell are you still here? Oh, if my people who would call by my name would only humble themselves and pray and turn from the wicked ways. Oh, but we're saints of God. Now, I'm not saying that we are without sin by any means. I'm not saying that. But when I say turn from our wicked ways, we often think of the conventional sin. And as saints of God, we often categorize ourselves out of those wicked ways, right? I'm not doing that. I'm not doing that. I'm not doing that. But you see, this was a bit of instruction that God gave to Solomon. This was not a warning to God from God. This was instruction from God, right? There was nothing wrong going on at that time. Solomon had just done good things. He had just finished building the temple. He had just finished offering burnt offerings. He had just finished worshiping God. So God wasn't issuing an admonishment to him. One of the things that Solomon was known for was seeking wisdom from God.
Amen.
So it doesn't seem unlikely that God would be often dispelling wisdom to Solomon on a regular basis, because Matthew tells us that if you seek, you shall find. He sought wisdom. That's what he was doing. That's his job. So then what do we do with this information? Well, what the information was that was learned in 2 Chronicles was then applied later on. When Nehemiah found out that Jerusalem's wall was torn down, like many of us are seeing and perceiving is happening to our country right now, the destruction of the Holy Kingdom. Nehemiah at that time was not a man of great substance. Nehemiah could have very well said, who am I to do anything to resolve this great condition that we are in? Right? But Nehemiah turned to God and prayed. Nehemiah was a cupbearer. I don't know if you all are familiar with the story, but no, the Love Fellowship believers is a glorified church, and you all spend a lot of time tarrying before the Lord. I know that you are familiar with his position as the cupbearer of King Artaxerxes. The one that began with an A and got taxed at the end. Okay, him. He was his cupbearer. You know what a cupbearer is? You're responsible for making sure that nothing that the king consumes is poisonous. Very important job, not a very highly esteemed job. But along the way, you get to enjoy some great fruits, some wonderful things. in my stuff. However, what you don't want to do is show up in front of the king looking sad. Because sad or downward countenance might be perceived as illness. I don't want to be looking ill in front of the one that I'm supposed to be making sure stays healthy, because that could indicate that something that I've consumed has been tainted, and therefore the king cannot consume it. Right? So the king, while his wife and his queen was with him, turned to Nehemiah and was like, yo, what's up, bro? You don't look too good. Well, Nehemiah had been in prayer. And when he got that favor from the king, the favor was the question. He was able to answer him and say, listen, my country, my city, my family, my people, they're exposed right now. They are in a state of disrepair right now. And I need you to let me go to them. And I need you to extend
to me favor and grace and stuff. So Nehemiah thought it not robbery to go from cupbearer to project manager and contractor, overseer and rebuilder of the wall in Jerusalem. Wonder why he thought it was okay to do that and not have to be stuck there. Who you are and where you are right now has nothing to do with the purpose and the plan that God has for you, other than to prepare a way to give you grace and favor and opportunity. And the only reason that we have to get stuck there is because we decide to stay there. And that's why I asked you, what the hell are you still doing here? And I don't mean here in this building. I mean here on this earth. Because there has been placed in each and every one that I have come in contact with a burning desire to see something come to pass. And many of you push it down because you say, I'm not good enough. I don't have enough education. I don't have enough opportunity. I don't have enough money. But the devil is a liar. The wickedness of the ways that we do, and I don't just say you, I say me, I have to be first partaker. The wickedness of the ways is putting limitations on God and seeing only what we believe we can accomplish in our own strength. You see, if your dream doesn't scare the crap out of you, then you have not tapped into your true purpose yet. Doesn't even matter how old you are, how young you are. If your dream doesn't scare the hell out of you, you have not surrendered your will to God. And you're still operating in wickedness. Because although the Apostle Paul says to think no more highly of yourself than you ought, there is something in the Word of God, in Proverbs, that says that you should remember that you are God's. Have I not said that you are God's? That's Psalms. Have I not said that you are God's? That means that you have a responsibility to create, to cover, to bless, and to lift up, to make better every situation that you come in, every situation that you come in contact with, everything that is not good, when you come in it, it should shake. It should be, oh no, here she comes, here he comes. This woman of God is not going to be limited by her own height, her own girth, her own strength, even her own mindset. I have to take off my own mindset, because my own mindset still has mess in it from stuff that was put in it by people who didn't know what they were doing or what they were working with. Amen. And I have to put off old things. And I have to allow the word of God to be the renewing of my mind. And when the doubts come in, I got to find out what he says about me. Because what I say about me is still a lie. What you think about you is still a lie. When you can hardly get out of the bed because you're tired and you're weary, it's a lie. By his stripes you are healed. When you can't, it's a lie. Because his word says that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. It's a lie. And if any lies have plagued you and you allowed them to have dominion unto you, then you are wicked and a faithless generation. The scarcity mentality people think only applies to money. They think that I didn't come from money. There was not enough money. I don't never have enough money, and I'll never have enough money because there's only a limited amount of money. And if we set the table and we put a certain amount of money up on this table, and it for whatever reason didn't look like enough for everyone in here, there might and opened up the floor to say, whosoever will come and get this money. There are some of you that wouldn't even move. And you would allow the devil to lie in your spirit and say, I'll let somebody else have it. Feigned humility. You see, because that would imply that there's not enough money. But my father owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. And so when this supply right here runs out, he's just going to add more. So those that are sitting back because they don't want to be too greedy or I'll let somebody else get it, you are just as wicked as the one that's racing up here. Time. Scarcity mentality. I don't have enough time. I already worked 2 jobs. I don't have enough time. Everybody got the same freaking 24 hours in the day as everybody else. And if you don't have enough time, you are not using your time wisely. If you only know how to do what you know how to do, then you need to connect with somebody who can help you to understand how to do better with what you got. Because we know 100% of what we know. We know some of what we don't know, but we don't know none of what we don't know. So you don't even know what to ask about that you don't know. But you're operating in your own strength, which is wicked. Because the word of God says that every joint supplies and fitly could. Access. I don't know anybody. Nobody talks to me. I don't have anybody to tell me what to do. And I never get to speak to the pastor, and I never get to talk to minister such and such, and they always talking to these people, and it's clicks in here, and that's why I can't, and my program won't, and every time I try to, I ain't able to, because I can't. Access. It's a lie. It's a lie. You're allowing yourself to be limited by a lie. You see, because when Christ was hung on the cross, and his arms were stretched wide, and the blood came streaming down, and they pierced his side, and he issued out, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And day became night, and he went into the belly of the earth, and he rose again, the veil was then rent in two and gave us direct access to the Father who controls heaven and earth, and unto us is given the keys to the kingdom. So your limitations, again, are in your programming. And when programming is glitched and it doesn't work properly, you have to dump that program and you have to reprogram. And reprogram comes from renewing of your mind. And if you can't do it on your own, get help. Get someone to pour into your mind. Write down what God says to you and say it to yourself as much times as you need to, so that you can believe him over yourself. Ability. He has given unto us all several and different abilities. We are fearfully and wonderfully made. But many of us see someone else's ability as greater than our ability. And we allow that, what we perceive as a disability, to convince us that we don't have the ability to do, be, or become the things that God has said that we ought to. When I say the things that God has said, you heard him. You heard him. You heard him. You heard him when you were young enough to still believe in him. You heard him when you were resting in him, and it was right before the awakening of all of your own senses, and he said things to you that you thought must have been a dream. You heard him. You heard him. Disability is only different ability. We don't do anything in and of our own strength anyway. So if you have a different ability, then you ought to be relying on something else. Or how about someone else? The power of God enhances our ability to do everything. But he also uses each one of us, and some of our nonsense and foolishness is because we won't take the time to partner with one another, to submit ourselves one to another, to seek his face together, to unify our strengths, because everyone wants to be in charge of it. Everybody wants to be the head of it. That you would rather see whatever it is, vision, fall by the wayside if you can't be in charge of it. You did receive the very, very important piece of the vision, but because they won't let you be up, out, and in front, you don't care if it even happens. And God is not pleased. That's wicked. That's wicked. See, sin doesn't have to be big and giant and running around in the streets and floozing and everything, drinking and boozing and gambling and all of that. Sin is simply blaspheming against the Holy Spirit. And what is blasphemy against the Holy Spirit is denying the power of God. The power of God to tread upon serpents. Now, here in Greensboro, I don't know if y'all have serpents. I don't have none in Charlotte. I don't want none. So I'm going to say that the power of God means that there's nothing too big or too scary that I can't overcome. Right? There's nothing too big, nothing too hard, nothing too difficult, nothing too impossible. Before electricity was, electricity wasn't. We got light everywhere. We even got light that you don't even have to plug in no more. Like, we got instant light. We got, right? So somebody had to be crazy enough to believe that God put an image in them that they could take the sun out of the sky and illuminate that light without being connected to the sun and have it still come on, and we could do it when we wanted to with a flip of a switch, and got some other people to believe in them and actually stood fast at that. But how many of you believe that there was some whole bunch of people that didn't believe in them? Get ye out from among them. That's why he said, humble yourselves and pray. Humble yourselves and pray is surrendering to God. I can't do this by myself. I can't figure this out.